Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're just a matter of hours away from the NFL draft getting underway. And joining us now, Josh Edwards, NFL draft writer for CBS Sports. Kind enough to hang out with us. Josh, this is your Christmas, man. You fired up?
I'm fired up, especially with all these rumors coming in about what could happen with the quarterbacks tonight. Teams moving up and down the board, so I think this will be one of the more entertaining drafts that we've had in recent memory.
Well, give me some of your opening thoughts. I mean, you mentioned the quarterbacks, and I know that there's really four, maybe five, that could go pretty quickly. But give me your thoughts on the order of how these quarterbacks roll out.
Well, I think we have a little bit of clarity on one and two with Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels being those two quarterbacks. Beyond that, I think it's just about anybody's guess. There's some buzz that, you know, maybe some teams – specifically the Patriots are open to moving down and getting J.J. McCarthy a little bit later, allowing a team like the Giants or the Vikings to move up to number three overall and get Drake May. At the end of the day, I think it is going to be Drake May, third quarterback, but there's definitely a lot of conversations about J.J. McCarthy also going there in the top 10. And then Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix would be the next two guys on the board. Do either one of those guys find their way into the first round? And if not, just how long are they going to have to wait on day two?
Well, that's the million-dollar question there, too. In your opinion, do you think there's five quarterbacks taken in the first round?
I think we ultimately will see five quarterbacks taken in the first round, just because I think there will be some desperation from a few teams. I think whoever gets left out of the dance, whether that be the Raiders or the Broncos, could find themselves in a position where they take a player a little bit higher than what they are typically accustomed to doing. Whether that ends up being in the first round, maybe trading back up into the back half of the first round for one of those players, I think is a scenario to monitor if we get past the middle of the first round and nothing has happened at that position. That's a situation to watch as we get closer to the end of Thursday and start preparing for Friday. But Broncos, they don't have as much draft capital, so all the talk about whether they move up the board is centered around Patrick Surtain and whether he's going to be available. Of course, Minnesota has two first-round picks as a result of the Houston trade, so teams are positioning themselves right now to make some moves for these quarterbacks.
Well, I was going to ask you about Denver. Did the Zach Wilson acquisition maybe slow down their ambition to get a quarterback, or is it still they got to find a way to add depth to that room and they'll do everything they can to make it happen in the first round?
He's a nice project moving forward. Sean Payton, you know, he's known to be a quarterback guru. He likes to work with quarterbacks. So I think he's excited about the opportunity to work with Zach Wilson. With that being said, I think it is full steam ahead in search of a quarterback of the future. You know, whether that ends up being Michael Penix Jr., who I think will be the fifth quarterback taken among this group, or a guy like Nix or Spencer Rattler on day two, I think that's the question. But I don't think the acquisition of Zach Wilson is going to affect their overall plans too much.
How many offensive tackles do we see go in the first round?
That's a really good question, and one that I actually am very excited about. I know a lot of people don't get excited about the offensive lineman, but that's where you win games in the NFL. You have to have a strong front, and there's a lot of really quality players in this draft that can help you accomplish that. When it's all said and done, I would be surprised if we didn't see at least six, possibly more than that, because some of these guys have positional flexibility as well. So I think comfortably you're talking about Olufoshanu, you're talking about Joe Alt, Talese Fuaga, you've got J.C. Latham, Graham Barton from Duke. You know, those guys will almost certainly go in the first round. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. And then you start talking about, well, Kingsley Suamataya from BYU get in there. One of my favorite prospects at the position in this draft class. There's guys like Troy Faitanu, who is left tackle trained at Washington, but, you know, may have a more high upside at the guard position moving forward. So there's a lot of really intriguing talents at that position. And even if they did play tackle in college, doesn't necessarily mean that's what they'll be pegged to do in the NFL.
Well, obviously, we cover BYU and take a close look at them. You like Kingsley as a prospect. What jumps out at you, and why do you think he might be a first-round talent?
I'm a little surprised that I'm on an island with this because he's got fantastic size, of course, but you're not talking about a player that is sacrificing speed and athleticism, foot quickness and athleticism, to be that size. I think he has the athleticism to be a really high-end player at the next level. Of course, he checks the box with the size. Family pedigree, Penei Sewell, Noah Sewell, both having gone on to the NFL. He played right tackle for BYU last year. He transferred in from Oregon. He played left tackle this past season. So we haven't really seen stability from him throughout the course of his collegiate career. I think a team that is willing to invest in him and give him the opportunity to grow and develop in a stable role are really going to reap the benefits of that down the road.
So I want to get your thoughts on who is the obvious number one at this point, headed to the Bears, in Caleb Williams. I think that there is a tremendous upside and potentially a lot to gain. Do you feel like there are pit stops? Do you feel like there are red flags, signals that might say he's a number one overall bust down the line?
I think that is certainly a possibility for any player at the position, just based on history. You know, as much as we talk about that position and the certainty in which we do talk about the position, at the end of the day, there is a lot of volatility. A lot of it is based on where you land with the supporting cast, the coaching staff. All of that stuff matters. If you're not in a position to handle a rookie quarterback, you may have a very talented player, but if you can't lead him to achieve confidence as a rookie, it's tough for that player to succeed long term. Where I think Caleb Williams probably has the most concern would be just how comfortable is he working from the pocket. He didn't have the best offensive line at USC, so he was forced to move off his spot a lot and make plays in space, which is what everybody loves. You like a guy like Patrick Mahomes and what he can do at that position. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to make plays from the structure of your offense within the pocket. You have to be able to operate in pressure, step up, you know, move left and right, as opposed to drifting backwards. So I think where you will see the biggest adaptation for him is the speed of the game. You know, once it speeds up, you start seeing these NFL rushers. How is he going to handle that? Is he going to stand in the pocket and try to get through his reads and make his progressions down the field? Or is his first instinct going to be to roll out of the pocket, which we often saw from Justin Fields? So I think there is going to be a learning process for him. But I think we've seen more of his ability to work within the pocket in a structure of an offense than what we've seen from other top picks in the past, like a Zach Wilson or someone of that nature who is a little bit more impromptu in nature.
How do you anticipate Jaden Daniels will make the transition into the NFL?
He is an intriguing prospect. Of course, he's one of the older ones at 24 years old, fantastic mobility at the quarterback position. I think that's going to give him a chance early in his career as he makes this transition to the NFL. You know, whereas we talk about Caleb Williams and needing to make plays from the pocket, I think Jaden Daniels, just with his foot quickness, his ability to make plays in space, gives him a little bit more leeway to make an impact early in his career while he tries to figure out the rest of the game. Speed, working from the pocket, all of that kind of stuff. I want to see him more consistently work the middle of the field. You know, not always go to the sideline, not always tuck it and run when he feels pressure in his face, things of that nature. And I think when you're talking about Washington, which is probably where he's going to land, is the offensive line currently in place good enough for him to achieve success early in his career? Because that is important. He is 24 years old. You want to build that confidence early and just keep the ball rolling downhill. So I think that's going to be very important early in his career. But for me, I want to see his ability to stand in the pocket, deliver in the face of pressure, and really just work all levels of the field.
So here in the state of Utah, we did a re-rank. Just our show did a top 25 re-rank of players, and Sione Vaki came in as the most impactful and important player in the state of Utah to his team and his team's success. How does the NFL value dual threat athletes when it comes to drafting? And what do you think the eval is on Sione Vaki?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to set it up because he is a little bit more uncharacteristic from other safeties in this class and, you know, what we had seen 10 years ago. If we were talking about the NFL a decade ago, his role is a little bit more unclear. But in today's game, you know, valuing the ability to make plays in space, make tackles in space, get guys to the ground, I think his ability to drop in coverage but also play in the box gives him a lot of value because now you can trust him to be on the field in those sub-packages. Similar to Talanoa Hufanga a couple of years ago, coming out of USC, going on to San Francisco, there are better roles for those players in the NFL today because of the versatility that they do bring to the field. So it's kind of tough to peg him as, you know, a safety or a linebacker because he allows you to fulfill both of those roles in a way. So that's where his value is, what he can do in those sub-packages for defenses moving forward. And, you know, sub-packages are incredibly valuable now. So even though you may not look at it necessarily as a starting position, it's going to be an incredibly valuable asset for a team as they're looking to fill out their roster.
Has Kyle Whittingham built a program in the University of Utah where, let's say you're evaluating a couple of safeties and you got Cole Bishop and another player kind of rated about the same. Has the Utes developed a bit of a reputation where their players usually end up winning those tiebreakers just because of the system they run and the players that have come out of that system have had a certain level of success at the NFL?
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's been evident that he does a great job of coaching that entire secondary. The quality of play that you get out of those players early in their career is at a high level. You can trust them to be well coached. Julian Blackman was one of my favorites when he was coming out of Utah. There's another safety in his class. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but what you really valued is just how comfortable you could be putting those players on the field because you knew that they would take care of business. They would do what they were supposed to do on that particular play. And I think you see that from Cole Bishop and Sione Vaki too. They're both listed as safeties, but they certainly do not play the same role. Cole Bishop, you know, a little bit more of a traditional safety and his ability to play with range, you know, play the deep half of the field, whereas Vaki, again, is a little bit more versatile, as we discussed earlier. But what you can see between both of those players and the players that precede him coming out of Utah is just the stability and how well coached they are at that position.
Rate for me the top three wide receivers on the board, in your opinion, right now.
In my opinion, it is Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. I think he has the higher floor in this class. Malik Nabers would be second for me because of what he does after the catch. Similar to Justin Jefferson, you know, he's, you know, very twitchy after the catch. He's going to get you a lot of yards post-catch. For me, three is Rome Odunze. He's kind of fits both of those. You know, he's a little bit taller of a prospect, but you get that post-catch versatility as well. I mean, Washington was manufacturing touches for him left and right at or near the line of scrimmage. He's not just a ball winner down the field. So I think it varies based on who you talk to in the NFL and what kind of a role you're trying to fill in this draft. I think some teams will prefer Harrison. I think some teams will prefer Nabers. And some teams may just come to the conclusion that Odunze is the best of both worlds. So it would not surprise me if any one of the three were first off the board. I think they're all top 10 prospects. I think they're all going to be high-level NFL players. And it's really just what your flavor is at that position.
So we all think and we all get excited about potential you know, moves and trades. Do you think it's smoke? I mean, do you think there's smoke screens out there, or do you think we're actually going to see some fireworks here in a few hours?
I think it's both. I think we are going to see fireworks, but I also think that there's a lot of smoke out there right now as teams try to create a little bit of misdirection. The Giants don't want teams to know what they're doing. The Vikings don't want teams to know what they're doing. We've heard every scenario possible with both of those organizations. The Giants don't want J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy comes out and said he's talked to the Giants more than any other team. We hear that the Giants aren't going to take a quarterback there. They're going to take Malik Nabers. We've heard Rome Odunze there. with the Vikings, we've heard if Drake May's off the board, they may stay put at number 11 overall and take a Michael Penix Jr. You know, so we've seen every single scenario covered at this point, but I think it's all been done strategically. I think we will see several trades in the first round, not even just as teams jockey for the quarterback position. I think you're going to see movement for those wide receivers, especially if we do see four quarterbacks taken in the top 10. And I think teams are going to really value the offensive tackles in this class, trying to fill a position of need at a premier position. So I think you're going to see a lot of movements even once the quarterback situation kind of becomes to settle and become more clear.
What do you see as the biggest need for the Las Vegas Raiders in this draft?
I think they have a lot. For me personally, if your offensive line is not cast in stone, that is where I always look, because I think you have to have strong offensive line play. You have to have strong defensive line play before you can worry about anything else, because it doesn't matter if you have Devontae Adams. You're not going to be able to get that player the football if your quarterback does not have time to make plays. So for me, my eyes immediately go to the offensive line, getting stronger specifically on the right side. Cornerback is another one that they've tried to fill in recent years. Those attempts have not fared well. I could see them taking a defensive tackle to pair there with Christian Wilkins. There's a lot of directions that they could go. Quarterback, of course, as we discussed earlier. But for me, I think offensive tackle is really where they need to start as they try to rebuild this.
So take quarterback out of it. If you're Sean Payton and the Broncos, let's say that for whatever reason you don't like Penix or you don't like Bo Nix, and you're still picking at 12, and you know you got the Zach Wilson acquisition. What is their next need? Where do you think they go outside and eliminating the quarterback from that conversation?
There's a lot of different directions they could go as well, and I think just looking at Sean Payton's past, he's valued those bigger edge rushers. They can win with power. A guy like Jared Verse comes to mind, even though you've got a Nick Bonitto and a Jonathan Cooper there developing. Cornerback, I think, is a position where they could look to upgrade opposite of Patrick Surtain. And if Patrick Surtain is traded, then they're going to have to upgrade it even more.
Yeah.
Offensive line would not surprise me. Sean Payton's history, you know, they've consistently invested first and second round picks in that position. So even though we look at it and we say, this is the biggest need for this organization, I don't think you can rule it out just because of Sean Payton's past. Defensive tackle, wide receiver, as they continue to make moves, as Courtland Sutton get dealt over the course of the next 3 days. I think this is a team that really has a lot of needs, and that's always what I come back to when I think whether going after your quarterback now is necessarily the right move for where they are in the construction process of that roster.
Where are you at on Brock Bowers? Do you think in a couple of years we'll be talking about him in the same breath as some of the great tight ends in the league?
I think he's an incredibly talented player. I think he has that potential. It just depends on where he lands and whether that organization is going to be able to best use his skill set. If you want to, you know, line him up at the end of your offensive line consistently and expect him to be one of the top five tight ends in the game, I don't necessarily know if that is the best way to use him because he is more of a pass catcher. I mean, he's a guy that has the size, he's got the physicality, he's got the quick twitch to be somebody that you split out a little bit. You know, line up on the boundary, move him around the formation and try to create mismatches. I think that's the best way to use him. If he lands in a situation where a play caller is capable of doing that, then, yeah, I think he has the potential to be one of those top five tight ends in the NFL right now, just looking at his skill set. But fit is definitely going to matter specifically in that regard, because a lot of people don't value the tight end position as much as wide receiver, but that player is capable of making just as much of an impact as a really good wide receiver. I mean, you look at what Kansas City and San Francisco do with Kittle and Kelce. If you have that type of player and you're able to maximize his talent, then you're looking at a player that is going to be very difficult for opposing teams to scheme against.
All right, final question from me. Who makes it back to the postseason first, the Las Vegas Raiders or the Denver Broncos?
Oh, man.
Antonio Pierce? Or do we see Sean Payton resurrect what was a proud organization in Denver?
Yeah, good question. It could go either way, but I'm going to say, man, I think the Broncos probably have a little better the Raiders probably have a little better roster right now, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Raiders. I like their quarterback situation a little bit more. I think they have some real talent on the roster with Christian Wilkins, Max Crosby. If you can add a few more pieces, I don't necessarily know that your path to contention is necessarily clear, especially when looking in that division with the Chargers and the Chiefs. But I think that team at least has more talent right now that could go out and make an impact in the next couple of years. It's just a matter of nailing these next few drafts and, you know, adding the talent necessary around those types of players.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time, Josh. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy the draft tonight, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Great stuff, Josh.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Josh Edwards, CBS Sports, covering the NFL draft right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The Broncos are the worst team in the NFL, and it's not even close.